All right, it's again good to see you, Toby, Audrey, Jake, Erwin. I think that's Melissa, and looks like we have Marina. Welcome. So we are going to do a special topic this evening. We're taking a little bit of a break from our usual alumnus on the Parsha because I want to do a very exciting topic with all of you that was Halacha Lemaisa, was relevant for our community just 2 weeks ago during Shavuos. For those who didn't follow the current events that were taking place down to the buzzer, let me fill you in on what happened. As you know, the Stanford Jewish community is blessed with an abundance of different WhatsApp groups. But chief among them is the Coed Town Crier, which is the general Jewish Orthodox group. And as you may have seen, prior to Shavuos, on Erev Shavuos in the afternoon, someone noticed that the candlelight time that Agudat Shalom put out going into Shabbos, right, it was Thursday night through Shabbos. So going into Shabbos, we put 7:20, whereas candlelight would have been 7:56 if that would have been 18 minutes before sunset, before Shkia. So a lot of people were wondering why we put that earlier time. Now, we probably, I'll take some blame. I probably should have explained why we put an earlier time. But the issue was as follows. Generally, every week, we offer a 7 o'clock minyan, which has its own issues. Without going too deep into it, it's its own shiur. It's called a tarte de sasseri. It's an inherent contradiction because you're basically davening mincha according to one opinion, and you're davening marav early according to the other opinion, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that's its own problem. But in our case, we have a 7 o'clock mincha, Kabbalah Shabbos marav service. And then we offer also one before shkia, before sunset, which is past week. The minyan began at 8:07. Now, the issue was on Shavuos, we only offered one minyan. We only had about 7 o'clock minyan. So the assumption that we operated on was that if the shul is only offering an earlier minyan, when the shul is projected to hit Kabbalah Shabbos, in particular at the end of Lecha Dodi Boi V'Shalom, Mizmor Shir, that's when the shul formally accepts Shabbos. So the assumption was that anyone who, even if you weren't attending the minyan, you would be subject to what the minyan, when the minyan was accepting Shabbos. And so a lot of people raised a lot of legitimate questions about different, what if I'm not at the minyan? What if there's a house minyan somewhere? What if Young Israel has a minyan, which they didn't have later minyan? They don't have a later minyan. We did our research. Chabad doesn't have a later minyan. But what about all these different kind of factors that may affect the equation? What if one spouse goes to early minyan and the other one is at home? So how might these different factors affect the equation? So that is what we're going to explore this evening. If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch source number one, the Shulchan Aruch has a one-liner in Sif Yud Beis. Imrov hakahal kiblu alehem Shabbos, hamiyat nimshachim acharehem bal karcham. That if the majority of the congregation accepts Shabbos, then the minority is dragged, it's pulled after them, that they are forced to accept Shabbos early if the majority of the community accepts Shabbos. Now, you might already be thinking to yourself, is the majority of the community going to Minyan Friday night at all? So I always like to be down the kaf schus, right? We're supposed to give the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, the numbers are not the strongest at a good Hashem, but I bet you it's standing room only at the Young Israel. I bet it's standing room only at the Chabad, right? So but without being naive, that's clearly not the case. So what we're going to have to define soon is when we are assessing a majority of the community, who qualifies for the community? I think off the bat, we could all agree that our Christian and Buddhist and Muslim neighbors, as lovely as I'm sure they all are, they aren't considered part of the community for these purposes, for Jewish ritual purposes. But what will be interesting soon to see is if just because you're a Jew means you qualify for this. So that's number one. But let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah.
Rabbi, says, are you a paying member, non-paying member?
Yeah. Someone raised that on the Shabbos version, right? Should paying membership dues affect that or not? So a lot of talk of membership dues, but there's a discussion about if you generally attend one shul, would that affect the equation? That is discussed though. Perhaps the siman, you know, that indicates that you belong to a shul is the membership, but from a halakhic standpoint, I don't think that matters. But I'm not saying that people shouldn't pay member. Okay, you know what I'm saying. Take a look at source number two. The Mishnah Brura jumps on something that might be in the back of your minds, which is, well, maybe there's not a lot of people at a Gedah Shalom on a Friday night, but between a Gedah Shalom, between a young Israel, between the house of Binyam, there is a lot of people. Or you might be wondering, let's say a Gedah Shalom only offers an early minion, and young Israel only offers an early minion, the Chabad only offers an early minion, but maybe somewhere in Stamford, where one of the house minyanim is taking place on a Friday night, maybe they have a minyan that is done bizman, that's done before sunset, marv afterwards, a shkia minyan. So would that be enough for them, as well as for other members of the community, to rely on that there's still a later minyan? So take a look at the Mishnah Brura, Imrov HaKahal. So the Mishnah Brura says that if the majority of the congregation is not at shul, like we described, then they do not have the power to drag everyone else along with them to accept Shabbos early. Likewise, if there's more than one shul in town, each shul is its own dominion, but the young Israel is not beholden to a Gedah Shalom, and a Gedah Shalom is not beholden to the young Israel. Avolim osa minya bebeso. Now, if you decide to make a minyan in your house, afilu minyan kavua, even if it is a kavua, it's an established minyan. It takes place every week, or we could debate exactly. It's a bit of discussion, you know, for like, you know, Rachman Sheva that we make, what exactly Kavua is. But even if it is Kavua, Batal Eitzel Harov, that's insignificant. If it's not at a base Akneset, not at a shul, they would still be subject to what the majority of the community is doing. The fact that they decide to have a later minion there would not help. Now, I should clarify something at this point. The Poskim point out that when we're talking about accepting Shabbos early, we don't mean, see, this gets into like a related sugya called Tosefes Shabbos, which is everyone has a mitzvah that you shouldn't just wait for Shabbos to happen automatically. We're supposed to bring Shabbos in a little bit early. We're supposed to add on from Shabbos onto the weekday. And so 18 minutes happens to be the common minhag in our part of the world. So when we're talking about accepting Shabbos early here, we don't mean that it becomes Shabbos for the people who didn't accept yet, but what it would mean is that there's an Isser Malacha. They're not allowed to do Malacha that you couldn't do on Shabbos. However, it would seem that they could still daven Mincha, let's say. It's still considered Friday. They could daven Mincha. It's still considered a daytime, but it's just they are not allowed to do any Isurei Malacha. They're not allowed to do anything that would be considered a transgression of Shabbos. One interesting little tidbit, by the way, just glance at source number three. Source number three in the Piskei Tshuvos. So the Piskei Tshuvos, we're going to refer to it a bunch of times. It's a little bit of a rabbinic cheating safer. As the title might allude to, it gives you the conclusion of many of the modern responsa on different questions that come up. So it's a rabbinic cheating safer in the sense that it gives you a lot of good references. But also the author throws in some of his own opinions as well, especially in the footnotes. So in source number three, he says, according to the logic of the Mishnah Brura that we just saw, Lefi Zen, the underline, Gam beis knesses shebe beis malon chedoma ein dino kebeis haknesses leinim ligor achar v'sa orchim malon she'ein bertzonam l'kal shabbos imam espalim sham muktam. So he says that it would be a similar thing that if you're at a hotel, let's say there's a hotel, and the hotel happens to have a established minyan there. So the Piskei Tshuvos suggests that a hotel minyan would not be more significant than a house minyan, and would not have the power to make all the other residents in the hotel accept Shabbos early, just because the only minyan being offered there is an earlier minyan. Interesting extrapolation that he makes. Next time you're on a trip to Morocco, wherever you're going, keep this in mind. Now, moving on to the next section. This is the really juicy piece that I mean, there's a bunch of juicy pieces here, but this one I really want to get to, which is we established so far that in order for the community to be dragged after the shul, when the shul accepts Shabbos, the shul would have to have the majority of the kehillah accepting Shabbos early. But again, our big issue, well, maybe it's not an issue, right? If you want to accept Shabbos early, this is actually really great for you. But the issue here, from my standpoint, because we made a policy for a good shalom, so in substantiating our psak, is that it seems that numerically we don't have a lot of people at Minyan compared to everyone who could be at Minyan on a Friday night. So I will now offer you three different qualifications that whittle down who counts towards this kehillah, towards this congregation, in assessing whether we have a rov. So source number four in the Piskei Tshuvos, he points out in the second paragraph, he says, well, of course, I'm going to just embellish this a little bit, make it a little bit mono-orthodox. We more than welcome women to attend Minyan and come, and we are very grateful for having you with us. But from a strict halakhic standpoint, I don't think it's news that when we are counting a Minyan, it's the men who make up the Minyan for a tzibor. So he says, even though all the women are going to be lighting candles at what at eight, let's say 18 minutes before Shkia. So this is not going to force other people to accept Shabbos. That's a very important point, by the way. Generally, by default, when a woman lights candles, she's implicitly accepting Shabbos at the same time. However, let's say there's a man and woman who are married to each other. So the woman accepts Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia. It doesn't mean that her husband has to accept Shabbos at that point. In fact, let me just finish the point. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein got into a little bit of trouble. He would get a ride to shul during the 18 minutes. And what happened was that, you know, aside from being an Orthodox rabbi, Rav Moshe Feinstein was one of the strongest voices, if I'm not mistaken, who was criticizing shuls for encouraging people to drive in on Shabbos. So you can imagine the irony and the purported hypocrisy that here's Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's busy castigating everyone for driving to shul. Meanwhile, he's going in the car to shul during the 18 minutes after candle lighting. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said that, you see, that's not called Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin is, we're not supposed to do things that even have the appearance of being wrong. But he said there's no such thing as Maris Ayin when it comes to Amaratus. You see, they didn't realize that 18 minutes before Shkia is still fair game. As long as it's before Shkia, it's before Shabbos, if you didn't accept it yet. So Rav Moshe said it was fair game for him to get a ride in the car. Now, if I remember correctly, someone could look it up later, or I could look it up later. I think he started refraining from doing it from a public policy standpoint because it didn't look good. But he said from a strict halakhic standpoint, it was not a violation of Maris Ayin. Because even though his Rebbetzin at home was, let's say, lighting 18 minutes before Shkia, he was still allowed to do anything up until a little bit before Shkia, just due to Tosefes Shabbos. So that's number one. Number one is that when the women light candles, that's not going to force the men into it. So when we're talking about the Rov of the Kehillah accepting Shabbos, we're looking at those who are eligible for the Minyan. Now, this next one, in case I didn't give one yet, you see, I'm going to issue what they call in modern parlance a trigger warning, which I'm sure you familiarize yourselves, or for those of you who maybe have grandkids that are my age, you maybe hear the terminology from them. So this next one, I know I already started talking about Hilchos Shabbos. So this one's going to be even more forthright. So if you don't want to hear anything that doesn't, okay. You're all here because you want to learn Torah. Okay, that's good. Source number five is where Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, I'll just read for you what he says. That way you can't say it was Moshe Kurtz saying it. It was Halicha Shlomo recording of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Ir gedola sheishba beis knesses echad in minyan mitzumtzum. Let's say there is, in theory, a huge city but they could only twist enough arms to get just 10 men into shul on a Friday evening. Verov Yehudei Ha'ir, Enam Shomrei Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan. And the majority of the Jews in the city are not Shabbos observant. Kevan Shekiblu Rov Kahal Shomrei Shabbos is a Shabbos in Tfilasam. Since the majority of the Shabbos observant Jews in the city accepted Shabbos by coming to the one and only early minyan, Nigram Acharim Gam Shomrei Shabbos Shel Hispal Imahem, then a minority of Shabbos observant individuals would have to accept Shabbos along with them. The Inyan is Sir Malach, as we mentioned before, at least just in terms of forbidden acts on Shabbos. Why? He kol mechali haShabbos rachmana litzlan ena min haminyan inyan zeh. I'll explain what he means by it. He's saying is that if you're not shomer Shabbos, you're not observing Shabbos, you're not counted in the many of those accepting Shabbos. Which actually, when you think about it, it's very logical, because you have to buy into keeping Shabbos to qualify for us asking, oh, you keep Shabbos, but when are you deciding to accept Shabbos? If someone doesn't accept Shabbos ever, then it doesn't make sense to ask them when they're bringing in Shabbos if they never bring in Shabbos. So that's what Shlomo Zalman Orbach says. And now you might be thinking to yourself, wait a minute. Someone actually raised this during the 10:30 share as well. Someone raised a really good point. I think it was Howard Wolf. I like to give credit where it's due. He said, Howard Wolf Akasha. So Howard asked the following question. Maybe it's our responsibility to mitigate how much Issur Melacha is done on Shabbos. How much, even though someone might be violating Shabbos, maybe we should try to bring in Shabbos as late as possible in order so we could mitigate how much, if this guy is like just likes to light fires all day. And so we can at least minimize, 30 minutes, an hour or whatever of him lighting fires on Shabbos. Or whatever other, he likes to pick the tomatoes out of his salad. Whatever example you want. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, "Mehai taima nami ein lehem lachush melakabel shamis miva'od yom mishagor marim es kol ansheir benimsa shagor lemelachal shamis kmanat son the kabbaz es shamis lo chala aleihem." So he says you might think to delay Shabbos as long as possible. But the idea is that if someone doesn't buy into the idea of observing Shabbos, then since they're not part of the community, the observing community, in terms of bringing in Shabbos, determining when we bring in Shabbos, when the observing community brings in Shabbos, it's not going to affect those who never bought in to begin with. So he says there's no inyan to delay bringing in Shabbos, which helps justify having an earlier minyan at a shul. Susan.
Okay, I'm sorry, but can a woman decide to accept Shabbos later too? I mean, because like she might ride to shul, or she might have another, dinner's not quite ready, or whatever the heck it is. I'll light the candles, have it in mind to accept Shabbos when it actually gets here.
I'll do you one better. What if theoretically there was even a man who decided that he didn't plan on attending minyan that evening at all? What would he have to do, right?
Okay.
In theory.
Yeah.
So then it's the same question, right? We have a big question. There's a discussion, I think, the Maaseh Shekel and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav about if I intend to go to shul, the minyan I intend to go to might affect when I bring in Shabbos. But what if I don't have any intention of going to any minyan Friday night? Then what do I follow? So we'll get to that very soon. Excellent question, Susan.
Because, I had an issue once where there was something going on at a minyan where it was actually minyan before Shabbos. So I wanted to go up there. And I just went and I didn't say the prayers or anything.
Yeah.
And then I came home right before Shabbos.
Right. So very good. So hopefully we'll be able to address that very
soon. Where are these things you're reading from?
It's a link in the chat.
Oh, okay.
Do you need me to repost it? Do you see it?
I'll see if it's here. Thanks.
I'm reposting it. There you go. You should see it. Okay. Now, this is my favorite one. Source number 6. This is the Tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak says, let's just keep score right now. Number 1, The Piskei Tshuva says that we're looking at the men in the community. Rosh Hashanah Oreb says not only are we looking at the men in the community, we're looking at the Shabbos observant men in the community. And now we're going to whittle it down even further. The Minchas Yitzchak says, take a look at the second paragraph in source number 6, where I underlined it. He quotes, Avahecha Shamia Kiblu Shabbos and Beis HaKnesses. Va'arov L'hayim B'Beis HaKnesses. Let's say only a minority attend shul, but the majority remain at home. Those who decide to stay home, they're doing it to their own detriment. What do we mean to their own detriment? He quotes the Chassam Sofer, in the Tshuvos, perhaps, I have to check. He quotes the Chassam Sofer that says, let's say there is I think we have the annual meeting coming up sometime soon, right? So imagine you have an annual meeting coming up for the shul or for some organization in town that you're affiliated with, and you decide to stay home. Lobo kama anoshim. So when you decide not to come out and to vote for whatever important policies are being voted upon, havi kamoshim evatlin daitam ledas osim shahokhlasham. You are implicitly deferring the decision to those who do show up. Dim Kane, Avishaber Ruba, Imrov Mibali Asifa, Hiskimulidas Achas. So what is the Chassam Sofer saying? Chassam Sofer, and then the Mechas Yitzchak extrapolating from there, is that when we're talking about the Rov, we're not talking about just Rov of Jews. We're not just talking about Rov of observant people. We're talking about Rov of who are the people who are generally in attendance at the minyan. And if I understand him correctly, I don't think he means just who's there this evening, but he means who is generally part of the asifa, of those who gather in shul in the evening. So those who are generally in shul in the evening basically are the ones who are making the decision for when the community accepts Shabbos. And by not attending, you are deferring implicitly to that group of people. And then he just throws in the next underline. The yeser al zev beis haknesses the yesh chiyav al kol adam esvel beis haknesses imet tzibor. And also, since there's, he says, furthermore, there's an obligation upon every man to daven with a minyan at shul. And vimloba bata dato alehem. If you don't come, then you are being mevatel. We actually talked about this in our sukkah shir. Bata dato yitzak kol adam. We talked about you're basically nullifying your personal ratzon to what the community desires. The community is not just a sum of individuals, but all data points around the community. The community is the people who are gathering together as a tzibor to make that decision. So when there's only, let's say, a 7 o'clock minyan or a plag minyan, early minyan, then the community is saying, this is when we are accepting Shabbos. That's what the Minchas Yitzchak says. All right, so we really whittled things down over there, because if you just looked in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, you'd be left with the impression that we'd have to, you know, go around and ask everyone, you know, we have to travel up to all the way up to, you see, it'd be funny, like, what do we even consider the community? Like, you go to North Stamford, you go to Pound Ridge, you know, like, where New Canaan, where do we even draw the line in that regard? So it's not, like I said in the sermon on Shabbos, those who were at the 7 or 8, this Michas Yitzchak is telling us, it's also an ethical point that being a part of a community is not just part of being in a geographical area, but it's about investing in a community. So I don't think it only applies to minyan. I think it applies to Gemilas Chasadim. It can apply to Talmud Torah. It's like the shiur that we have, as you're all doing right now. So not mutually exclusive. Okay. Now let's get closer to Agudat Shalom's case. Here at Agudat Shalom, we try our best to have two minyanim on a Friday. We have a 7 o'clock, which is relatively well attended. By relatively well attended, I mean that we don't have to actually recruit. The minyan shows up without fail, Bli'ayin and Hara. Whereas the later minyan, the one that's before Shkia, that's done Bizman at the ideal time halachically. So that minyan, we generally have to twist a few men's arms to get them to come so we can just barely have a minyan by the skin of our teeth. That's the reality. So the question is as follows. It would seem that the main minyan at Agudat Shalom is the 7 o'clock, not the 8-something minyan, whatever it is coming week. So the question is that enough for the people attending the minion? And then the question also, what about the people who are not attending the minion? Are they subject to when the 7 o'clock minion accepts Shabbos, since that's the main minion? Moreover, if you glance at source number 8, the Sher Mitzvah B'Halacha, they says that the Efsher, look in the underline, Dim Harav Shel Beis HaKnesses Mispal Bizmano B'Minyan HaBeis B'Chol Ein Osur Alav. He says, you know, maybe there's an additional reason to grant significance, to grant weight to the later minyan, even though it's smaller, but if the rabbi is davening at the later minyan. So for those who aren't aware, the rabbi, Rabbi Cohen, davens at the 7 o'clock, and I'm generally at the Shkia minyan. So I'm not sure if it helps that the senior rabbis at the earlier one and the assistant rabbis at the later one. If anything, that's a very clear indication that the later one is the less significant minyan, just from that standpoint, if you're looking at where, you know, where the Mar D'Asra is. But okay, he still seems to say that if there's a later minyan, we have what to rely upon. So if you now turn to, let's just skip a little bit ahead. You can just glance source number 9 from Shimon Shabbos Kehilchasa, and now take a look at source number 10 on page 6. Just flew ahead a little bit. So in the Piskei Tshuvos, in the third paragraph I put over there, he says, HaMeikel Bezel Lismoch Al Zman Kabbalas Shabbos Da Hamin HaMeuchar Shaper Yeshlo Al Mi Lismoch HaGam Shemin HaRishon HuAmerkazi Robat Sibor, something, I'm not sure what that stands for, Mishtatik B'Minyahu. So he says that if you're not attending Minyan, right? This is a question that many are wondering about. What if I'm not attending any Minyan? When do I have to accept Shabbos? So in the Piskei Tshuvos, he says, and I have to look back to see if he's quoting from a particular source. Usually he'll give you the citations for it. He says that if you are accepting Shabbos at a later time, that will be okay if there is a later minyan, even if you're not attending it. He says, yesh al mi lismo. There is what to rely upon. There is whom you can rely upon. So, but that again assumes that there is a later minyan taking place. I don't want to jinx us, you know, bliyan, hara, poo, 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 all the things you're supposed to do. But last year, you see, what happened was we lost a number of our regulars at the Shkia minyan. So we don't have a margin of error anymore. In fact, we have whatever the opposite of a margin error is. We have like six men who, what?
Shortage.
A shortage, yeah. We have six men who regularly want to attend, and then we have to twist four other men's arms to get them to come. So we have the opposite of a margin of error now. What happens if Chas V'Shalom, 1 week, we don't have 10 men at that later minyan? In other words, we don't have a minyan. So then what do we do? What do we do? So then what happens to all the people who are accepting Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia? They're doing candlelighting then on the assumption that there's a later minyan that they can rely upon so that they can take in Shabbos at the latest time possible. What do we do if they don't show up? Is there any recourse that we have? So for that, I unveil our final source, which we'll culminate the shiur with, which is from Rav Moshe Feinstein, of course, in Igros Moshe, source number 11. Rav Moshe Feinstein is seemingly not addressing our case, but you'll see how he ties it in at the end. Rav Moshe Feinstein is addressing a similar question, which is, what happens if there is a couple and the man goes to the early minion, let's say the 7 o'clock minion, or the clock minion, and his wife doesn't want to take in Shabbos early. She's still doing whatever she needs to do around the house. So she wants to accept Shabbos at candle lighting time, 18 minutes before Shkia. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva when she's trying to figure out, is she forced to accept Shabbos when he does? And if she doesn't accept Shabbos early, she doesn't have to. Can she do malach on his behalf? So toward the end of the tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein makes a very important distinction. He says, if you look in the second paragraph in source 11, "Banachal l'fiyani estaiti demashe kiblu Shabbos beis haknesses shemispal baal hu lekavanas mitzvah lekedushas as Shabbos Shietosevis Yoser Gadol, Oshel Cheshash Levolit Zach Rolacha Vumina Kavuasham. He asks, why is this man going to early minyan? So there's two ways to look at it. One way is, he said, the Kedushas HaShabbos, the sanctity of Shabbos. I just can't wait to start Shabbos. Imagine all these like Hasidic stories about the Rebbe. Oh, the Kedush, right? So he's one of those, he's very, you know, he's very tapped into the Kedusha of Shabbos. So that's why he's accepting it early, because he has a minhag to accept Shabbos early. And now this, Rav Moshe Feinstein makes reference to another tshuva, which, again, it will take us too far afield, but I'll give you the basics of it. Rav Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that when a woman marries a man, she has to accept all of his minhagim. And his explanation for that is because when you move from one location to another location, you accept the minhag hamakom, you accept the customs of the new place that you move to.
Right.
So when a woman marries a man, he says conceptually it's the same thing happening. She moves into the auspices, the jurisdiction, find me some more politically correct term. Right? Imagine like she's coming up to the chuppah, she's entering into his auspices at that time. So therefore, she has to accept the minhagim of the new makom, the new place that she finds herself in. So if this man has a minhag to have Tosefes Shabbos, to bring in Shabbos significantly earlier, not just plain Tosefes Shabbos, a super Tosefes Shabbos. So then Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's plausible to say that she would have to bring in Shabbos early as well, because that's the minhag of their home. However, Rav Moshe says, look at the next paragraph, the third to last one. Then ain al kavanas kedushas Shabbos. What if he's, you know, like most people, I would venture to say, he's not bringing in Shabbos early because he's like this huge tzaddik who just can't wait to bring in Shabbos. I mean, but not that he's not a tzaddik either. He's just an ordinary person. They just want to have dinner at a normal time. They don't want to first have dinner at like 9 something at night. You know, like I'm sure, at least I've been given muster by my doctor, you know, don't eat X amount of time before going to sleep. So it's a very bad idea to daven very late, and then you get home, and then the first thing, you know, you're having dinner, and then you can't fall asleep, and you're tired. You know, just imagine all these different things that happen. So they want to bring in Shabbos at a reasonable time, in which they can have dinner at a reasonable time. So Moshe Feinstein says, in a case like that, that's not called a minhag. That's not a custom. That's not some special religious minhag that he accepted upon himself that his wife would have to be subject to. This is just a convenience. Saying, 7 o'clock is more convenient for me than the Shkia minyan. So that's why I'm going there. If that's the case, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if it's not a deliberate religious decision, then there's no reason for her to be bound by that. And she could accept Shabbos at a later time, the normal 18 minutes before Shkia. Now, you might be wondering, why did I bring in a tshuva that talks about, you know, I hear how it's related about a man and a woman, but we're talking about a kahila, about a community. So if you look in the last paragraph, Rav Moshe Feinstein ties it in to our discussion. He says, let's say, now I'm going to ask you a really interesting question, rhetorical. When a good shalom has a 7 o'clock minyan, Friday afternoon, Friday evening, are we doing it because the Kedusha of Shabbos? We here at a good shalom just can't wait to bring in the Kedusha beginning Shabbos early. Yeah. Not like how some people might think that, but I think overall we can all agree we're doing it out of convenience. So Moshe Feinstein says also, if it's not done for religious reasons, it's done just because that's the best time to get people to come to Minyan. He says, potentially, in a case like that, the minority would not have to accept Shabbos with the Rabbin. So meaning, if there's only a 7 o'clock minyan 1 week, let's say Chas HaShalom, we don't get the later minyan 1 week at a good Shalom, and we only have that earlier minyan, still, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that in such a case, if we're only accepting Shabbos, our motivation is just for convenience, it's not a deliberate religious decision, then it's not that when we have a 7 o'clock meeting, we're saying, now we, a good shalom in our community, are accepting Shabbos right now. No, we're happy with people accepting Shabbos later. We're just having minyan right now. So Moshe Feinstein says, even if there's only one shul, or like in our community, where all the shuls have earlier minyan, except for a Gushan, which has one later one. But he says, the issue with this is twofold. Number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein would appear to be a Das Yachid. He would see, a minority, right? We're talking about majorities, minorities. He is a minority opinion on this. I'm not aware of any of his peers, so to speak, who espouse a similar distinction, who try to get into our psychology and figure out why we're accepting Shabbos. This is a novel suggestion by Rav Moshe. And even Rav Moshe himself says, I'm not sure. He says, I have a suffix. He says, Sarich Ian Ladina. So when you have, even though, it's someone as great as Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Posek Hador of America, but still you have only one Posek, and even that one Posek is not quite confident himself of his own Svara, that's a very shaky basis to rely on Lichat Chila. So here's my, I'll draw my conclusion right now, and then we'll have questions and conclude. My conclusion is as follows. I believe, and Rabbi Cohen and I discuss this, and I think he would agree as well, that it is imperative that if we are posting in our Shabbos bulletin and we are instructing our community that they can accept Shabbos on the time that's posted on Ma'izmanim, which is 18 minutes before Shkia, and we want to especially help those who might be coming back from the train or making it just before Shabbos, they need that extra time, so then it's imperative that we have that later minyan. It's not even a late minyan. It's a proper Bizman minyan for Shkia. That is imperative. Otherwise, it could spell big trouble for those who need the little bit of extra time. I would add, and you could share this with your peers, and but this is especially why it's important that I haven't figured it out yet. But we need to get men who are willing to act, welcome women, of course, also, but especially we need the men to make the minyan at that time. But if we do everything we can and we have a minyan committed and then just happens to be someone gets sick and doesn't show up and then Chas Hashem, we don't have that later minyan, then I think we have Rav Moshe Feinstein's suffix and his tshuva in our back pocket to rely on as a shas adchak. When it's already too late, there's no way we're getting the word out there at that point. So then maybe we have what to rely on for Moshe Feinstein, that we don't have to worry about people violating this acceptance of Shabbos that would have taken place at the earlier minyan. So that is my conclusion. Now we need the later minyan if we're going to post a later time. But b'di'eved, if a minyan somehow doesn't show up, then we have this suffix of Moshe to potentially rely on when we are in dire straits. That's my take on it. But let me pause. You've all been wonderful listeners. Let me see if you have any questions that I could address to the best of my ability. Toby.
Bear with me because I may have a little trouble articulating this.
Yeah.
What if the motivation for doing it at 7 o'clock is certainly not, that about Shabbat, but on the other hand, the motivation is positive, meaning, because I think this is very relevant in this community, especially with it being, getting younger and younger and younger, that it chinuch of the children, that they should see Kiddush being made, that they should experience motzi, that they should, be part of a Shabbos table. If that's the motivation, what does that do to the whole equation?
I think that's an excellent question that you raised, Toby, which is that it's not, Rav Moshe kind of sets up this,
It's this
dichotomy. Dichotomy of whether, you're doing it for Kedushas or Shabbos, or whether you're doing it for your own personal convenience. But what if, you're not doing it because for Shabbos, but for a different value, that you want the children.
What I'm saying is, would he perhaps have considered that consideration, the education of the children, as part of Kedushas Shabbos?
Right. So I think the important point for Rav Moshe is I don't think he's so much trying to determine if you have the right reasons in mind. Like, I think he understands having a meal at a more convenient time that increases your own, we could say that increases your own egg Shabbos, right? So I don't think it's about doing the right reason or the wrong reason. I think what he's trying to determine is my acceptance of Shabbos early indicative of a communal policy? that we are accepting Shabbos early. So sometimes communities don't always opt for the lowest common denominator. Sometimes a community will have a shita that is a little bit more machmir. So Rav Moshe is trying to determine, is this the shita in the household? Is this the shita of the husband or the man in the household? And on a broader level, is this the shita of the community that they accept Shabbos early and they are spreading it out to the rest of their community? If it's being done for the children, I would say that would be the same thing as doing it for convenience. It's a good reason, I would think, but I don't think that's a reason to say that that's the community is trying to make life easier for everyone by doing this. So I doubt that they would want to make life harder for those who are on the Metro North and are delayed and are making it just in the nick of time. Okay. But that's a good point, Toby, right? That point he doesn't seem to bring up in the tshuva as far as I see. Okay. Any other questions? Susan, did we answer your question?
I think so. I think it would be okay.
Right? I think it would. Yes, I think it would be okay. That was my sense as well, based on what you described. But of course, God willing, we should not know of any minyanim not taking place. Hopefully everything should go well, Mirtza Hashem. And of course, if you, these are just my tentative findings. I mean, I put this together a little bit on short notice because of it came up very recently and people wanted an explanation. And I thought this would be a great share to do. But if you have any further questions or individualized cases, you have my email, you have my number, so you could, and you have Rabbi Cohen as well, so you can consult.
Well, yeah, what I want to know is, does Rabbi Cohen agree with you?
So Rabbi Cohen and I sat down and we discussed this, and my sense was when we sat down, we talked this over, we were in agreement. Rabbi Cohen is a stronger proponent of the later minyan than I am. I was, just to give you a little bit of the background, I initially said that, you know what? Let's put it out there. Let's see if we get 15 men who's just so we have a margin of error who say they are generally interested in coming to the minyan. So, and then if we don't have 15 men who are generally interested, that's not a critical mass. So why would we offer something that we don't have a critical mass for? And then we'll just have to post an earlier time. And if people say they want a later time, they should support the minyan. And he didn't like that approach, but we both did agree that having a later minyan was important. Just how to get people interested in a later minyan seems to be the point that we're still trying to figure out.
I like Toby's justification for early minyan. I mean, to me, that's very logical.
Oh yeah. Well, there you have it.
No, not that I would necessarily do it without kids, but I mean, if you have kids.
The issue is that this whole notion of looking at what the motivation is a chiddush from Rav Moshe that he himself is not fully confident about. So that's the problem with it. If more people signed on or Rav Moshe at least himself was fully confident in his own suggestion, we'd have what to rely on. But that's very shaky when you have one rabbi, even as great as Rav Moshe, who's not even confident about his own suggestion.
Oh, I have another question. Oh. What if you live in, you know, Kapuk, you know, Yenimsville, and there is no shul? There is, you know, unfortunately, there just is no shul. There's no minyan for whatever reason you're there. And you as an individual trying to figure out, do I just assume that I start Shabbos, the official candlelighting time?
Yeah.
Do I have the option to start it early?
Oh, yeah. You could only. Oh, so as let me clarify. Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. As an individual, you can bring in Shabbos as early as Plag HaMincha. Just go on MyZmanim, right? You know what? Let's take a little bit of a tour. Just let me zoom out. Let me pull it up right now. Just like this is a helpful resource. Give me a moment. I'm going to do a screen share. Guys, we're going on a digital field trip right now. All right, so if you've never seen this before, it's a great website to familiarize yourself with. This is MyZmanim. So right now it's Monday. Let's take a look at Friday. All right, so this is coming Friday. Gives you candle lighting at 8:07. So let's just take a look at this manim. So this Friday, Plag HaMincha is at 6:51:09 here in Stamford. So the earliest time that you could accept Shabbos this week is 6:51 p.m. And then wait 9 seconds. You can see that's significantly earlier than candle lighting, which of course is 18 minutes before sunset. So as an individual, When there's no kehila, there's no congregation, then you as an individual can either accept Shabbos as early as 6:51 to 9 seconds, if there was, in theory, no official community in Stanford, which we know, of course, not true. Or you could accept Shabbos ideally as late as 8:07, but in theory, if needed, anytime before 8:25, which is actual Shkias Lechama, it's actual sunset, so you do Tosefes Shabbos. All right, so that's called MyZmanim.com. I was not paid for product placement, but it's a very useful resource to be aware of if you ever need to check up the time.
Apropos to everything we've been talking about, I went on many trips with Mr. S from Bicultural, and Erev Shabbos, he used to tell the women to go light their candles, and we would, and to keep in mind that we're not accepting Shabbos until we get off the bus. So we got on the bus, went to the wall, and then he said, now you can accept Shabbos. So
very good.
The first time we ever did that, it was extremely strange for me to light candles and get on the bus.
But you're able, like he said, you're able to stipulate that. You can make a tanai. As long as you did in your case, you deliberately are stipulating that you're not accepting Shabbos at that point. You don't have to say it out loud. You just have to think it.
Yeah, right.
Very good.
Rabbi, I have to tell you, I'm still, all of this, I mean, I do what I'm supposed to do, but there's a part of me that feels like, why does my, you know, if I've got a lot of choice about when I can start Shabbos or not, why do I have to be bound by the community? Why, you know, as long as I'm not technically violent, why do I have to give up my autonomy?
Yeah. Well,
if I could live in, you know, Yenemsfeld and do, you know, choose for myself, why can't I continue to choose for myself just because I live somewhere where there's a shul? I mean, it's just
a very Western-minded question.
Very libertarian.
Because Judaism is a religion of community, but that's part of it. But what's I think I put it on the Shia. I don't want to use your time sifting through, but I think it's somewhere in the Shmir Shabbos Gelchasa. He says this. Maybe it was in the footnotes. Where did I put this? He addresses this. If I don't find it in 2 seconds, I'm just going to tell you out loud. Basically, I'm not finding it right now. Maybe it was in Sherman Simba Halacha. So basically, he says is that it would not look. It would be pretty bad. Imagine if the tzibor is not doing malacha, and then you see you've come home, and then you see your next door neighbor is still doing all the malacha. The idea is that there should be a uniform standard. But, I mean, this shouldn't come as a huge chiddush. I mean, we see this in, it's based also on the Mordechai. This is what the Shulchan Aruch is based on. But it shouldn't be such a novel concept to us that a tzibor establishes. I mean, think about what Minhag HaMakom is. Minhag HaMakom, by definition, is that what I want as an individual will be curtailed by that which the makom, the members of the makom, of the community, have accepted. I mean, this is an idea that's...
Those are usually in situations where, let's say you're in shul, and we have to decide, are we going to daven nesach this or nesach that, or something where a person doing something different would affect other people. But if it's just the privacy of your own home. I just need to, you know, I need to light later today and there's no second minyan. I just don't see what's so terrible about that.
Minna could apply within one's home or without. It's based on your makom. That's what determines it. Because it's not like a Maris Ayin thing. Minna affects whether you're inside, whether you're outside. That's just a way of how we're kovea. But I do hear the point, Toby, of why you find it to be a disturbing idea. There is a little bit, there is an element of individuality in the sense that one shul can't force the other shul, even if one shul has more people than the other. So, right, let's say actually all the membership showed up to Agudat Shalom and Young Israel on Friday night, even though we have more people in the pews, Young Israel will not be beholden to us. So you're correct. even within what we call the Stanford community geographically, there could be sub-communities in there. But the issue is the Metzias, and we called both rabbis up to check this, both the Chabad and Young Israel don't offer a later minyan. Again, the Bizman minyan. So there's nothing to rely on unless the Good Hashem has that later minyan, which is why I believe it's so important. And Rabbi Cohen also believes it's important, just to clarify that. All right. We don't have to be happy with everything, but I did my best to try to explain
it. Very good cheer.
On the other hand, I would just like to make a comment. I remember growing up, and my father would many times, he would say, I would say, come on, Dad, let's Shabbos is over, and I'm going out, or make Havdalah, and that's it. And he would always say, wait, don't be in a hurry. So I'll end it 10 minutes later or whatever. He says, let's keep the sweetness of Shabbos.
Yeah.
So what could I right. say?
So it's a good point, Gloria, because there's a mitzvah tosefa Shabbos both ways. Not only that we add on to Shabbos on Friday, but that we add on Matzei Shabbos as well. So you're correct. That's we have it in both directions.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Wonderful learning with all of you. And all right. Hopefully we should only know of minyanim being fulfilled. And this should be halacha v'lo lamasa, as we say, ledrosh l'kavos schar. It should just be theoretical. Okay. All right. Have a good evening, everyone. Take care.
Good night.
Learning together.
Thanks.